From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Mark Report. It's the 20th day of August, 2009. I'm Todd Gleason. It's the final day of the Pro Farmer Midwest Crop Tour. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Dan Zwicker. He's at ADM Grain Group in Decatur, Illinois. And then, as has happened all this week, Chip Flory and Roger Bernard should join us from the cornfields of the Midwest. They'll update final figures for Illinois and preview what the tour has found in Iowa and Minnesota. You can always see those numbers for yourself online at their website. It's agweb.com, but you'll only hear live from the two of them together right here on Illinois Public Media's Closing Market Report. The Closing Market Report is a production of Illinois Public Media, and it's from the University of Illinois.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at agrigold.com or at 800-262-7333.
In Chicago on this Thursday afternoon, futures finished the day like this. Nearby September wheat, 3 cents higher for the soft red at $4.69. December at 496.5, up 3, and the March 2.75 higher at $5.15.5. September hard red in Kansas City traded 1.5 higher at the end of the day at $4.98.75. From the corn pit nearby September, 318.5, down 1.5. December at 324 for the harvest month, 3.5 cents lower in the March corn, 337.25, down 4 cents on the afternoon. May futures at 346.75, down 3.75. And July corn at 355.25, down 3.75. September soybean futures, $9.99.25, up 2.25 for the day. November beans at 957, down 1. January at 959.5, 3.5 lower. The March at 959.5, down 5.25. And May soybeans at 957, down 6.25. September bean meal futures at 326.90, up $10.60. October 290.40, up 280. September soybean oil 35.80, 31 cents higher. The October 35.99, up 32 on the afternoon. August live cattle futures $84.80, 2.5 lower, but the October gained 15 cents to settle up 15 at 88.82.5. August feeders at $101.05 unchanged. September at 101.10, a nickel lower. October lean hog futures at 46.92.5, a buck 17.5 higher. December at 46.15, up $1.52.5 in Chicago. You are listening to the Closing Mark Report from the University of Illinois. Here's what the outside markets finished up like for the afternoon in the crude oil futures. September contract to settlement price there, $72.54 a barrel, up 12 cents. The October at $72.91, down 92. September ethanol, $1.58.2, up 1.4. And the RBOB gasoline at $1.98.2, down 5.1. Natural gas, September contract, $2.93.9, down 18 cents. That's $2.93.9. And the propane futures at 94.8, up 4.1. Gold futures, August contract, $940.30, down $3. And the Dow now at 9,327 has gained just about 49 points on the afternoon. And the U.S. dollar trading at 78.38 is down 0.08. The CRB index for the day trading at 256.93 is down 3.01. Here's what the weather forecast for the two-state region looks like this afternoon. Some lingering showers will make their way into the evening hours. A few isolated thunderstorms as well. Otherwise, should be partly cloudy across the two states. Lows will range from 58 in northern Illinois to 68 in the southeastern parts of Indiana. Tomorrow, partly to mostly sunny, widely scattered showers possible during the afternoon. Highs will range from 65 in northwestern Illinois to 83 in the southern parts of Indiana. A dry and cool air mass will dominate the weekend weather before a moderate warm-up returns to the area next week. Final days of August will see temperatures near average across Illinois, with Indiana and Indiana as well, and they can expect slightly below average there. Precip may return in the form of scattered showers by the middle of next week, but coverage expected to be spotty. More on the ag weather when we talk with Pete Levitt at the bottom of this hour. You are listening to WILL AM 580.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
This is the Closing Mark Report from Illinois Public Media. On a Thursday afternoon, we're joined by Dan Zwicker of ADM Grain Group. He's out of Decatur, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Dan.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Dan, as we took a look at some of the numbers that were coming across from the Pro Farmer Midwest Crop Tour, it seemed to tell us that, well, USDA's numbers were correct. I think you said you agreed with those last week, and the ADM was in that camp as well. Anything changing in the marketplace at this point that we should really be aware of?
Well, I don't think so. I mean, this is the time of year that, you know, we've got the crop made. Now we're trying to finalize the exact size of it. You know, there's an element of the market that still may be worried about whether or not we're going to have a long enough growing season to go ahead and let these beans mature. We've got a lot of late beans. We've even got some late corn around. But, no, this is a time of year that it's hard to, you know, there's not a lot of news around. Mostly focusing on getting ready for harvest. But, of course, we know this year, we're not going to see a lot of harvest probably until about the middle part of September. At least that's what my observations have been this past week. I've been kind of traveling the Ohio River Valley, visiting locations and doing farmer meetings. And I don't think anybody down south is really going to get going until about September 15th. The positive thing in the marketplace, you can just kind of look at this morning's weekly export sales numbers. We do have good export demand underneath this market, but, you know, that can only go so far when you have a big crop. But there's clearly good export demand underneath this market, and that's, you know, offering the support that we need for this time of year.
You know, I was reading some of what the DTN analyst had to say about the marketplace today, and the last thing they posted says it's been some time since we had a session that was this thinly traded. Grains remain locked in narrow trading range. It's as if the traders left for home right after the markets opened. Does having thin trade in the middle of the week scare you?
Well, I don't know if I want to go quite that far, but I mean, you know, there's not a lot of new news around. I mean, what we know is what we know. I mean, we know that we've got a nice-sized crop out there, provided Mother Nature is good to us here for the next 60 days or so. Like I said, you know, the trade is kind of keeping an eye on the Pro Farmer Tour, seeing what kind of numbers they come up with, whether or not they agree with them or disagree with them. And, you know, just about everybody I talk to feels pretty good about their crop prospects compared to what we thought we might have, you know, when we were back during June worrying about getting things planted. So things have really made a big turnaround. There's no doubt this crop's going to be late. It's going to be drawn out. I think probably the biggest fear the market may be is we could get ourselves into one of those 2004 type harvests that it just never ends. It just keeps going on and on and on because we're going to get off to such a late start.
Well, I have a question not related to that on the soybeans, though. In the last USDA report, they suggested the season's average cash price, I think, would be about $9.40 with a low at $8.40, a high of $10.40. November beans at $9.57 would put the cash beans somewhere well below that. But within the range of what they expect the trade might be, are you interested at all in seeing producers look out and book cash sales for their soybeans?
Well, I think you have to be whether or not USDA's average holds or not, it depends upon whether or not we're able to have a prolonged growing season and whether or not that soybean yield creeps up another bushel or two. Now, if it doesn't, and we hold in this 41, 42 bushel area, This balance sheet is very, very tight, and the prices are going to stay, I think, fairly strong, at least during the first half of the marketing season, or until the market begins to get real comfortable with a large South American crop. And, you know, that'll start coming into play during that November, December, January time frame.
And then turn your attention very quickly to what's been happening in the corn market. Where in your cycles long term are we at this point?
Well, good question. If the cycles are still in tune, one would have to think that we have another year of struggling. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean that the market is going to continue to move lower, but it just means that we still probably have another year of defensive-type price action before we kind of regroup and get ourselves into a longer-term up phase of a cycle. So, I think that basically kind of goes along with the world economic conditions, how quickly they're going to improve over the next 12 months. If they improve, you know, how quickly is the red meat industry in the United States going to come back and start chewing up those bushels that we've lost now over the past year or so as they've, you know, run into a lot of red ink. So it just kind of suggests to me that maybe the corn market is going to struggle, probably more so in a broad-based trading range rather than any kind of big uptrend to the upside. I think that's still a year away yet.
And one other question on the marketplace, because of the thinly traded marketplace today, and I don't know that this really has to do with the thin trade, but it reminds me that every time we talk to somebody from Chicago on Commodity Week, at least in the recent months, they have been extraordinarily bearish. Do you think Chicago has just been beaten up so much that they've remained bearish and are too bearish at this point?
Well, Chicago has a tendency to overdo the extremes. I mean, that's just part of the emotion of the market. When things are bullish, everybody gets way too bullish, and that same thing on the bearish side. I think, you know, what Chicago is suffering from, I think, is probably what everybody's suffering from, a slowdown in the economy. There is just not the activity, whether it's interest in trading commodities or whether it's interest in buying grain or trading grain. The whole world economic situation has slowed down, so they're feeling the impacts of what everybody else is feeling in the economy, I think, Todd.
Anything else to add before I let you go for the afternoon?
That's about all I have today.
All right. Well, thank you very much.
Very well.
And that is Dan Zwicker. He's with ADM Grain Group out of Decatur, Illinois. He joins us here on the Closing Mark Report. Happens each and every Thursday afternoon.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated in Lafayette, Indiana, Chalmers, Indiana, Hudsonville, Illinois, and Crescent City, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities focuses on managing risk in today's complex and sophisticated commodities market. 866-837-9027.
You're listening to the Closing Mark Report from Illinois Public Media in Urbana-Champaign. I'm Todd Gleason, the host of this program and of Commodity Week. By the way, our guest this week will be Chip Flory from Pro Farmer. He'll join us along with Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities, Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services, and Jackie Vakes of the Stuart Peterson Group for a discussion of what they found on the Pro Farmer Crop Tour this week, the final numbers from the tour and how those differ from what Pro Farmer will project, and we'll take a complete look at what happened in the world of agricultural markets. It's all on Commodity Week. We post it to our website at willag.org. That's willag.org at about 6 o'clock on Friday evenings. Please visit there, listen to the program from the website directly, or sign up to have it delivered to your computer automatically as a podcast. It's all at willag.org.
Agricultural information is made possible with support from ADM. ADM thanks America's farmers because everything they do starts with you.
You are listening to the Closing Mark Report. I'm Todd Gleason from University of Illinois Extension. The folks from the Pro Farmer Crop Tour are on the line this afternoon. I'm not sure whether I have Chip or Roger with me. Who is it?
Yeah, you've got Chip, Todd.
All right. Well, thanks for listening in. I know you had to listen to part of what Dan had to say there at the end. We've been following pretty closely what the tour has been like, and we're really interested to see what you've been finding this afternoon and today in Minnesota and what you found the rest of the afternoon in Iowa yesterday.
Right. Yeah, what we found yesterday afternoon in Iowa was really pretty good. Just in a quick summary of Western Iowa, when we finished up crop districts 1, 4, and 7, the average corn yield out of those three districts was up 8% from last year. Now, that's exactly what USDA was expecting on August 1. They've got the whole state up 8%. So, you know, what we saw in the western third of Iowa basically confirmed it. Now we've just got to throw in the rest, the eastern two-thirds of the state, and we'll throw those numbers together this afternoon and try to figure out Iowa. Now up here in Minnesota, there is a lot of variability in this corn crop up here because over in the southwest part of the state, conditions were really pretty good. Maturity is just fine. They've had some water. Everything looks good. Now as you move to the east, you get into the south central part of the state, and they went through a dry spell in there that hurt their yield. It caused some tip back. There was some germination issues. There was pollination issues. So they've got a hole in the state there in the south central part. And as we're making our way into the southeast, conditions have straightened out for us here a little bit again, and we've got some better corn yields. But really, really solid. I'm a little concerned about the maturity in the south central part of the state. Some of that corn, Todd, it needs 45 or 50 days before it finishes, and that's going to put us right at their normal first frost date.
Given what you've seen to this point and what you've heard from the eastern leg of the Corn Belt, and I want you to put on your analyst hat this time around as opposed to the Crop Scout hat, what are your suggestions for producers in the eastern and the western Corn Belt about old crop that they might be holding, and then maybe we can talk about new crop as well?
Yeah, that old crop stuff, we're not holding a whole lot of it at Pro Farmer yet. We've gone ahead and finished up the marketing, or we're close to done. We've just got a little bit of gambling stocks left, and that's it. So we feel like you've got to be heavily sold on the old crop. If you're not there yet, it's time to get there. On the new crop stuff, it's going to be kind of a mixed bag. I was thinking about this not 10 minutes ago, Todd, that really what we're doing, I think, is the bushels that I think we're losing out of the eastern belt, we've moved them to the western belt. Normally, I would say, okay, it's not a big deal because our total supply probably isn't changing that much because what we're gaining in the west, we're losing in the east.
Right.
But you got to look from a marketing standpoint and the potential impact on basis. If we were going to move bushels around the country, I would just soon stick them back into the eastern belt where we can put it on a barge and send it down to the Gulf. We're gonna have plenty of supply over in the western belt. That's gonna put some pressure on it there. Where in the eastern belt, we could see cash supplies tighten up a little bit, and we could see some basis strength come out of this on the new crop because of a shorter supply.
How soon do you think that would show up? I mean, will it show up early on or not?
No, I think what the cash guys are gonna do is we're probably gonna wait and get that confirmed by some actual harvest results before we start to see any basis strength pop up on the new crop.
Well, yeah, I understood that part of it, but I meant will it show up in November and December, or will we have to wait until we get into the March and February time frame before we see that basis really try to pop in the eastern Corn Belt if things play out the way you think they're going to?
Right. Right. Yeah, that's a good question. You know, it's the timing on that. It might be a situation where we'd have to wait until that February, March time frame before we start to feel some support from it. But if we confirm that Illinois crop is not what was expected from USDA on August 1, we could see some strength start to form in that basis in a fairly soon, you know, by the time we get by the time we start to roll the combines.
You know, Roger hasn't joined us yet, and I suspect we'll hear from him in just a bit. But could you run through those numbers last night? I think the Illinois crop was about what you expected from last year, but was it down from what USDA was predicting for this year? I didn't quite catch that out of the numbers that were posted online.
Okay. Now, the Illinois crop, when it wrapped up with Rogers Group, it came in at 167.2 bushels per acre.
Right.
That was up about 1.4%. Now, USDA on August 1 was down 2.2%. So we're steady. USDA is down 2%. But Illinois last year had a much better finish than what we expected. Remember that?
Right.
We had Illinois going up. We didn't show enough of a gain in Illinois last year, okay? I think what USDA has probably done is put a little bit too much on that crop here as of August 1. We typically overestimate Illinois by 2.25 bushels. So if we're at 167, we might be talking about something closer to 165, not the 175. Now, I've got to sit with Roger, and we've got to hash that out. But I got a feeling that 175 is probably pushing it a little bit too far for Illinois.
So then if we're at 165 and we've got Illinois, the number two producer, down, we've got export markets that USDA says should be 150 million bushels stronger, then I guess that's probably where you're thinking the basis will pop. But will it hold the marketplace up, too, even in the face of a 13 billion bushel crop?
Well, you see, that's the deal. I think it's more of a regional market because our total supply is not changing all that much. What I think we might lose out of Illinois, I think we're probably gaining it in Nebraska. So, like you said, your total supply isn't really going to change that much.
Right. Will they just ship it out the Pacific Rim then, out through California to the
well,
Pacific?
Well, that's a possibility, no doubt about it. And that's also a market that can service Mexico pretty easy. So it feels more like a location problem for the Western Belt with the amount of supply that they're going to have.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas I think it'll help support that Eastern Belt market.
Now, when we get to Commodity Week, and thanks for being our guest on Commodity Week this week, we'll call you about 4:30 tomorrow in your office there in Iowa.
You bet.
But when we get to Commodity Week, we'll talk about the difference, and I think you will have this by that time, the difference between what the tour finds and what Pro Farmer is projecting. Can you tell me how those two things, and we'll talk about the difference in the numbers, but how do you calculate the difference in the two? And I've got maybe a minute and a half left.
Yeah, like I said, in Illinois, we typically measure that crop 2.25 bushels too high. So we're going to be making some of those adjustments for historical error is what we call it. And we've got some major adjustments to make. Here in Minnesota, for example, we consistently count this crop about 12, 13 bushels too high. So we've got to take some bushels off of what the tour finds. In Nebraska, we always measure that crop too low. The reason there is really simple. The tour mix of samples is about 40% irrigated, 45% irrigated, something like that this year, and 60% dry land. In reality, Nebraska is 60% irrigated. So, we've got to make some adjustments because of that. And then, of course, we've got to look at the conditions outside of the tour area and try to figure out just how much an impact that's going to have on total production.
Chip, we'll talk with you again tomorrow. Have safe travels back home, and good luck with all the calculations tonight.
Great. Thank you, Todd. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. Bye-bye. That's Chip Flory. He's with Pro Farmer. He's out on the western leg of the tour. We'll talk with him on Commodity Week. I'm Todd Gleason. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Time to check on a Thursday afternoon the agricultural weather forecast. Pete Levitt is with us this afternoon. Good afternoon to you, Pete.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Let's start with what what the weather forecast on the long term looks like. They're released periodically, and
right.
That one came out this afternoon.
It's the third Thursday, and this is when it comes out. And for the month of September, the forecast is not very informative. It's got equal chances on temperature for almost the entire country, except above normal in the southwest and southern Florida. And for precipitation, on the three-month outlook, it's got above normal. For temperatures, again, on the three-month outlook, it's still above normal in the southwest, but above normal in the Great Lakes in the northeast, and that may be of some interest down the line. As far as three-month precipitation is concerned, that's September, October, November, it's got it above normal in the western plains and along the Gulf Coast, and equal chances, meaning no real forecast for the rest of the country, the Midwest and the like. So not very illuminating, except it's going to be important if they verify that above normal for the Great Lakes and at least the central and eastern Corn Belt, because our real problem now with this crop is the growing season, the length of the growing season, and how it resolves itself.
Yeah, we need a good finish. The National Weather Service is above normal temperatures. That would probably be a good thing. Actually, that would be a good thing to finish the crop out. What do you think?
Yeah, well, this coming week is going to be a little cooler than normal early on, than about normal later in the week. The next week looks to be a little bit warmer, but there's some hints on the third week, as that says we move into September, that it's going to turn colder. And this is where the problem is. The real problem is in the growing degree days. We started to talk about that last week, that you need a certain accumulation of growing degree days to get a crop to mature, depending on the particular variety of the crop and what else. In this case, we're running anywhere from 100 to 250 growing degree days behind normal in the northern half of the Midwest, from about central Iowa northward and then across Minnesota, the Dakotas, Wisconsin, Michigan, those areas. And that's hard to make up late in the season because, for example, for the month of August, your daily accumulation of growing degree days averages about 8 degrees a day, 8 growing degree days a day, more than you would average in September. And consequently, even the normals start not to deliver the growing degree days you need to mature the crop. So a very important period here. The current crop survey being undertaken this week by the Pro Farmer John Deere Tour finds a large crop out there, at least for corn, except that it's way behind normal. We've got a lot of the crop that hasn't even pollinated yet in the upper Midwest. We've got a very small percentage of the crop into dough stages, anywhere from 25 to 35% below the normal for this period. This means that crop's got a long way to go. And when you talk about pollination, remember, from pollination to black layer maturity is a 60-day haul.
All right. Well, thank you so much for joining us, and we'll talk with you again next week.
Uh-huh.
That's Pete Levitt, meteorologist, joins us here on the Closing Market Report. Happens each and every Thursday afternoon. You have a great day. I'm Todd Gleason.